My name's Dustin Carroll. Give you a little, so I want you to at least know my name while I'm preaching. I don't want you to say, well, I ain't going to listen to him because I don't know anything about him. My name's Dustin Carroll. I'm a senior at Export. I'm in Allison's class. Gives you a little point of reference there. And I just want you to get in with me as I preach what I feel the Lord's laid on my heart. If you have it, please stand. Says, thus he, and start at verse 7, going to read through verse 9, and then going to read again, or read verse, jump down to verse 17. Amos chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, and with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise again the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then verse 17 says, therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And if you would just stretch your hands this way and pray one more time that the Lord will anoint me and help us in this place. Lord, I pray that you come down and help us, Lord, tonight. Lord, I need you, Lord, here in this place. Lord, I pray that you anoint these lips to speak your word. Lord, anoint every ear to hear, Lord, every heart to receive what you'd have to be said tonight, Lord. And come down in these altars, Lord, and meet with us here in this place. Do what you know needs to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When Brother Meadows started this morning, I was kind of scared because he started kind of hitting some things that I was going to go to, but he pointed in a different direction, and so I want to kind of take the same some of the same thought and put it in a different direction tonight. And I want to preach to you a message titled "Get Over Here." Well, Israel, when Amos was prophesying to Israel, when God used Amos to prophesy to Israel, first some things about Israel. Israel was a nation that was founded by God. Israel was favored by God. Israel was provided for by God. Israel glorified God. And Israel, God came down and met with this nation of Israel. And most of us can say, if we're saved tonight, we can all say that God has founded us, that we've glorified God, that God's met with us. If you're saved tonight, you can say that God's came down and he's met with me. But yet you still see this prophecy by Amos to the children of Israel. And there's a place where we can get where everything's going smooth. Everything's going just right. There's been times where everything's just seemed to, the load seemed to get light. And I've just been able to just, it seems like sail through my Christian walk, sell on, and things are just falling into place, and the Lord seems to be handling everything for us, and everything seems to be going just right. We're comfortable where we are, but there's danger when you get comfortable where you're at. God sees the danger in everything going smooth, because when everything goes smooth, then ruts begin to take you hostage. You ever seen a truck that's stuck in a rut, stuck in the mud, and it can't get out? Because that wheel, when that wheel spins, it's spinning in the same place, and it's just getting, that rut is getting deeper and deeper and deeper because it's not moved. And it's not moving. And the Lord, and satisfaction and complacency, just contentment of where we're at, begins to settle in when everything goes smooth. Staleness and stagnation and coldness begin to kick in. If you've ever seen a pond that's just sat there, it has no input and it has no output. There's no outlet to it. There's no river flowing into it. And you see all the moss and the algae and lily pads and things like this growing up in it. It's because it became stagnant, because it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. That's the danger that God sees in everything going smooth. Because when everything goes smooth, it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, okay, I have no need to go any farther because everything's going good right where I am. But then when everything starts going smooth, maybe you're a new convert, just got saved, and everything seems to be going good. You faced a few battles, but nothing too big. Everything seems to be going good. And then you just get comfortable where you're at. And you say, well, I know that if I take another step in the Lord, I'll have to make another commitment. And so you say, I'm comfortable where I'm at. Now I can say that I'm saved. Now I can come to church and raise my hands with everybody else. Now I can say that heaven's my home. But I don't want to make the commitment to keep on going, to keep on getting closer to the Lord. And everything's going smooth and you're fine. You're comfortable right where you're at. But then something starts shifting and you can't quite figure out what it is. The Lord starts not moving quite as much as He once did because you're comfortable where you're at. You stopped coming. The Lord bids us come, and He never quits bidding us come. So what I want you to understand tonight is the Lord bids a sinner come to salvation. But at salvation, it doesn't stop. The Lord doesn't stop saying come. At that being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord doesn't stop saying come. At when the Lord begins to deal with you about this or about that, the Lord doesn't stop saying come. But He's continuously saying come. He's leading you closer. And in this life, I'm convinced that there's not a place that we can get where the Lord's not saying, hey, come a little bit closer. Deuteronomy 32 and 11 says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. When an eagle is born, it's born into a nest that's comfortable. It's been the nest that mother eagle has built. She's lined it with feathers, lined it with leaves, lined it with things that makes it comfortable for that little eaglet to be born into. But then as that little eaglet begins to mature, she begins to take some of these feathers out and take some of these leaves out. And all of a sudden, these briars and these big branches and things that held the nest together begins to spring forth. And that little eaglet begins to get a little uncomfortable where he's at. And the mother's wing is not protecting that eagle like it. The mother doesn't come around and spread her wings over the eagle like she once did, because that little eagle needs to learn how to fly itself. And eventually, the food becomes scarce. The mother don't come by as much with food. And that eaglet is eventually driven out of his nest out of necessity and finds out that he can fly. And the Lord does the same thing many times. He begins to stir things up to get us to realize that, hey, I've got something better for you. That was okay for then, but I've got something better. You were doing good when you came in and you got saved and you were just sitting there and raising your hands was good when you had just came in. But now I need more from you. Now I need more. And so if you're sitting there comfortable at that place of salvation, God's saying, come. And you're sitting there and you're saying no. God says, come. You sit there and you say, I don't want to. I don't want to have another level of commitment. But God, and in this time where this eaglet, the nest is getting uncomfortable, when that happens to us and God comes by and begins to take the comfort away of where we're at, He starts drawing a line. Just like in Amos chapter 7, He's drawing a line. And it says in verse 17, that land shall be divided by line. And it could be that place that you were at was right for a time, or it could be that place where you're at right now was never right in the first place. But just as Samson, God's moved on you at times, and just to try to tug you closer, try to grab you and draw you closer. And out of mercy, He's came and He's grabbed you at times and tried to draw you closer. But that place that you're at was never right. And you're still refusing to move. God's drawing a line. When God draws a line, when God drew a line here in this passage, He said, I will not again pass by them anymore. He said, I'm not going to come visit you anymore when I get this line drawn. I'm not going to come by anymore. I'm not going to visit you anymore. I'm not going to bless you anymore. I'm drawing a line. And I bid you come. And you sat there. You sat there and you've not wanted to give me what I've asked of you. And I'm drawing a line. God was done playing games with Israel. He wanted the final answer. After the reign of King Solomon, the kingdoms, Israel split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom was Judah, and in it was Jerusalem. And then they had the northern kingdom, which is Israel. And that's the one that Amos is prophesying to in this portion of Scripture. When Israel was first separated from Judah, their king Jeroboam, he set up two golden calves in that kingdom because he didn't want them going to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. But that's God's established way of worship. But he didn't want them going to the temple to worship, so he set up two golden calves. And he called their name Jehovah. The calves was a picture of strength. And when the people of Israel came to worship the calves, they were meaning to worship Jehovah Jireh. They were meaning to worship God, the one that brought them out of Israel. That's what they were meaning to worship. Eventually they were led into Baal worship, and they just denounced the name of God completely because of this. But God did not accept this worship because it was not His prescribed method. The time came where God said, enough's enough, I'm drawing a line. He said, enough's enough. You've stayed where you're at, and you've not done what I've asked you to do, and I'm drawing a line. There's going to be no more favor of God for Israel. There's going to be no more providing of God for Israel. There's going to be no more blessing of God for Israel. Because I'm drawing a line. When God draws a line in our lives, He's saying, enough's enough. It's time to get over here. And you see, when I believe that when God begins to draw a line, this tape's going to be this line that God's drawing here. But when he started building the ark, and those people of those people on this earth were so ravaged and so just wrapped up in sin, God sent Noah to preach to them and to tell them that, hey, I'm drawing a line. I'm drawing a line. And for 100, most people say that it was about 100 years that Noah preached before the flood came. God was drawing that line. He was saying, I'm not going to pass by you anymore. And I believe He said it with tears. I believe when Amos was prophesying this, that God was weeping. God was saying, hey, you can't be over there. You've got to be over here. My holiness demands this line to be drawn. And yet you still sit there because you don't want to commit. And it might have been okay for salvation. You can't say, come as you are. Sure, come as you are and leave changed. It might have been okay for salvation. But God says, hey, come a little closer. What you're in, the Lord might have said, hey, come in, get saved, and I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that issue later. Just come in. That might have been okay for then. But now God's saying, hey, it's time to deal with it. It's time to deal with the issue. It's time to get rid of it. But you're sitting there saying, I don't want that level of commitment. And God's saying, look, you don't understand. I've got to draw this line because of who I am. This line's got to be drawn. And I don't want you on that side of this line. We sung earlier about living on the hallelujah side. Well, you can't live on the hallelujah side when you're on the opposite end of that line. You can't live on the hallelujah side When you let go of God's hand, because God is ever moving forward. When you got saved, He meant you to be a pilgrim in this land. He never meant you to be settled where you're at, but He meant you to be a pilgrim, and you're pressing toward heaven. A pilgrim doesn't stop. A pilgrim doesn't stop moving. A pilgrim doesn't settle in one place and begin to build his house. But I think some people have gotten to that place where God told them, hey, don't sit down there. Come. Keep on coming. And they begin to build their house right there where God said, hey, you got to keep coming. And now their house is completely built. And every now and again, God comes back to knock on your door saying, hey, I've drawn this line a little bit more. Come before it's too late. Come before I get done drawing this line. Because when I get done drawing this line, I will not pass by you anymore. I'm drawing a line. And I don't want you to be on the wrong side of this line. So from time to time, God comes and visits. He knocks at the door, and you're so distracted with everything else. You're so distracted with what you want. And when God comes to knock, you turn the radio up a little bit louder. When God comes to knock, you turn, you begin to blare the music, and you begin to get distracted. You begin to distract yourself on the internet or whatever it is. You begin to distract yourself when God comes to knock and saying, hey, you got to come closer, because you don't want to let go of these things that you know you're going to have to let go of in order to come closer. Because there's some things that you're going to have to give up every step that you take. When you come in through the door of salvation, through the door of Jesus Christ, that's not the only step that you have to take, but you have to keep walking. And with every step that you take, there's another level of commitment that you've got to make. There might be some things that you've got to lay down. I know since I've been saved, there's a lot of things that the Lord's dealt with me about and said, hey, it's time to deal with this. Hey, it's time to get rid of this. Because you can't be on this side of the line. You can't live on the hallelujah side right now and still be doing that. God says it's time to deal with it. But I believe somebody, the Lord's came by and the Lord said it's time to deal with it. But somebody's just sat there and the Lord said, I'm drawing the line. Get over here. Get over here. Don't let me finish drawing this line without you over here. I don't want you to live on that side of the line. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, could you imagine if Lot had not let the angels come and into his house? What would happen? Lot would have been destroyed with the rest of Sodom. Well, you're coming out of Sodom and you stop. I believe that's equivalent to looking back. If you don't get to where God's judgment is not, then judgment is following you. And it's good when you come. It's good when you start running the opposite direction. That's great if you're following the Lord. But when you stop where you're at, it's not good anymore. Because judgment is on its way. It's behind you, and God's saying, I want to take you out of that. I don't want you to be in that judgment when it comes by. Come on. Get over here. The line is being drawn. And judgment's on its way. And you got to be on this side of the line. And God keeps drawing the line. And He keeps dealing and keeps dealing. And it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that I just came tonight and the Lord just started dealing with you about it during service. But God's been drawing a line. But you've just not quite. You knew what it was going to take. And you said, Lord, I really don't want to do that. It's not that I don't want to follow you. I just want to stay where I'm at and serve you. God says, no, it's not good enough to stay where you're at and serve me. You got to keep coming. You have to keep coming. And all the while, God's drawing the line a little bit farther. And every now and again, He'll come and knock and say, hey, I stopped drawing this line just for you. I stopped drawing this line real quick to come and knock at your heart's door and tell you, I want you on that side. So He comes and He tells you, I want you on this side of the line. He's saying, get over here. Because when that line is drawn, there's going to be no more provision of God for you. There's going to be no more favor of God on you. And you might sit there and you might look pretty in your pew for a little while, but when that line's drawn and you refuse to walk over, you refuse to get on the side of the Lord, you're going to slowly back out the doors. You're going to slowly wind up with the countless millions that are unsaved and lost in the world. Because God drew the line and you were not willing to move. When God said, hey, it's time to move, you weren't willing. You didn't keep coming. You got in, you got what you felt like you needed, and you stayed right there. You said, I'm staying right here. I don't want to do what it takes to have that. I don't want to do what it takes to have the anointing of the great men of God that I've seen. Because I know it takes so much dedication and so much commitment. I don't want to have to dedicate an hour or two every day solely to prayer. I don't want to do it. So I'm going to stay right here, even though I know you've called me to preach. Because I know that if I accept that, I know that if I say that I'm called to preach, that there's some things that I have to do and some things that I can't do, and I don't want to, Lord. So can I just be a pew warmer? No. God's drawing a line. And if you're out of the will of God, and God's called you farther, God's called you closer, then God is drawing that line. And when God's done with this line, He won't visit you in that land that you're in anymore. And if you notice, it says at the end of verse 17, it says, Israel shall surely go into captivity forth out of his land. This land that you once stayed in because it was more comfortable will become a bondage to you. When God starts drawing this line, and the farther he gets, the more of a bondage, the more of a hold that I have on you. This land that you've been living in, it's had a hold on you. It's holding you back now. You stayed there for comfort, but now it's gripped you. Now it's begun to wrap itself around you, and you became one with it. You became part of this land, and this land's became part of you. But God's forsaken that land. He says, I'm not over there. God says, I'm not in that land anymore, and now you're attached to it. You're attached to a land that I'm not in because you weren't willing to keep coming. We're not to be attached to this world. We're not to be attached to the things of this world. Our only attachment should be to Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be attached to a land. We shouldn't be attached to a thing, because those things will keep us from the will of God. But when we're so attached to God, and there's a song that we were singing with the choir this year at school. It says, I'm going with Jesus all the way. But it takes going with Jesus hand in hand. He might walk back to, he'll walk back to get you at salvation. But eventually, if you say, I'm comfortable right here, the Lord's going to keep on walking. The Lord's going to keep on going. And you're going to be standing right there. Not holding to his hand anymore. Not going the way of the Lord anymore. Then God begins to draw a line saying, hey, I really want you over here. I can't visit you over there when this line gets drawn. I'll come by every now and again because I need you over here. I want you over here. There's a danger in refusing to move. Time and time again in the Bible, if somebody falls from God, it's because they refuse to move somewhere. At some point in time, they refuse to move. And God always gives a warning. God always gives a call. And I don't believe that this is the first warning or the first call to whoever it is that the Lord's wanting to reach and wanting to speak to. There's a line that's being drawn. And God says, I want you over here. I don't want you to die in that land, because you'll die lost without me. You got to keep coming. You got to keep coming. It don't matter what you have to lay down. It don't matter what you have to throw aside. It's worth it to follow God. It's worth it to go with the Lord. It's worth it to live on that hallelujah side. Those choruses that we sung talk about how great it is living on the hallelujah side, living on the side of the Lord. But it takes a commitment. But I want to tell you that I've not regretted 1 mile. I don't want to pick up one thing that I've had to lay down to come closer to the Lord. I don't want it. It's worth it to lay down every weight. It's worth it to lay down everything to follow Christ. But now, some Some have lived in this place where God's been drawing the line so long and lived in that land so long that farness from God just seems normal now. It's just an everyday occurrence. I know that I'm going to come to church, I might raise my hands, but I don't really get in because I've lived in this land for so long and it's became my home. Farness from God is now my home. And that land that you chose to stay in when God said come, now holds you captive. It's now bound you up and wrapped you in death clothes. It's wrapped you in grave clothes. But God's came tonight. And Allison, if you would come, I'm about to close. But God's come tonight to say you don't have to live in those grave clothes. The line's not completely drawn yet. I'm still dealing. I'm still working. And I came by tonight. I believe the Lord's saying I came by tonight to tell you one more time. There's a chance to get on the right side of the line. There's still a chance to get on the right side of the line. The Lord's not done dealing. But He might be if you continue to refuse to stay where you are. If you continue to live right where you're at. Don't play games with God like the children of Israel did. Because there was a time where they were taken into captivity. And the Spirit of the Lord was removed from them completely. Don't play games with God. When God convicts your heart, when God pricks you and tells you to come, when God begins dealing with you to lay some things aside, to get closer to Him, don't brush it off and say, well, this one does it or that one does it. Say, I've got to have the Lord. I've got to follow the Lord. And it's worth everything that I have to lay aside. I don't want to wind up in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah because I turn around. I don't want to wind up having that same judgment poured out on me as Sodom and Gomorrah did because I chose to sit down and grow cold and grow stagnant and grow lukewarm in a pew. There is some people that sit in a pew their whole life and wind up in hell. Because they grew cold, they grew stagnant, and when God said come, they never did come. You're not freer just because you can do what you want in that land. You'll be free when you're able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. To them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh wants to stop. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll never stop. The flesh wants to stop. But if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're living in the will of God, then you will never stop moving forward. The church is to be forward moving. It's to be ever onward going. And every Christian is to be forward moving and ever onward going. You're not meant to stop where you are. It's not enough. You don't have enough to stop where you are. You have not obtained. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. You have not apprehended where you're at. God's still saying, come a little closer. I've got a little bit more. I've got rivers to swim in. You're satisfied in that ankle deep water. God says, I got waters to swim in. Keep on marching. God says, I got waters to swim in. Keep on coming. God says, I got waters to swim in. Keep on going. Don't be comfortable right where you're at. God's not going to play games with you. God's not going to come by and pat you on the shoulders and say, okay, you're doing good. You're in church. You come to church on Sunday morning. You're doing good. You come and you sit on the pew and you raise your hands every now. You're doing good. God's not going to come and pat you on the back when you're sitting there in a place and you're not moving and you're not willing to move. God's going to say, hey. He's going to say, I need you to come. You built your house, and I never meant you to build a house. You've stopped where I never meant you to stop. And I need you to come closer, because judgment's raining down in that city where you're at. Judgment wasn't there a while ago. Judgment wasn't there a year ago. You were coming. You were walking. But now you've stayed there, and judgment's inched its way towards you. and it's coming. Get over here. I know it's going to take a little bit more commitment. I know it's going to take laying down some things, but I promise you that it's better to live on the hallelujah side. I promise you it's better to go hand in hand with Jesus as you grow in the Lord. Don't stop where you're at. Some think that living for God is a list of do's and don'ts, that Christians are in bondage. It's not bondage. I choose, there's a song that says, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Nobody's making me do it. It's how I want to live. Because I'm walking in the Spirit, this is how I want to live. Because I love my Lord and my Savior, this is how I want to live. I don't want to be caught up in the things of this world. I don't want to be caught up in pride and vanity. I don't want to be caught up in this world's mess and junk. That's what it is. That's all the world has to offer is junk. But I want to be on the right side of the line. I want to live for the Lord. It's not a duty. It's like your brother just said, it's a delight. It's a joy. It's a privilege to live in the will of the Lord. It's a privilege to live where the Lord has told you to live. It's a privilege to live with your hand in the Lord's hand as He walks forward. God's drawing a line. We don't know when He'll shut the door. We don't know when that line will finish. All I've got to say is get it right now. Come now. And don't ever stop moving. Don't ever stop going. Because God's looking for ever moving forward church. And He's coming back for a people that's ever moving forward. Judgment's raining out on that side of the line. But the joy of the Lord is on this side. God's saying, get over here. And if you would stand. But God sent another tug. He sent another call. He sent another warning by your way. But what are you going to do with it tonight? Some of you might have held back on the Lord's call. The Lord's called you into His work, but you said, no, I know that it'll take too much commitment. And Lord, I don't want to do it. You sat there and you sat there and you sat there. The Lord says, look, this is what you've got to do. I'm drawing the line. This is what you've got to do. Maybe you've kept a little sin in your back pocket for when nobody else is around. And the Lord says, hey, it's time that you be delivered from that. It's time that you come out of that. Maybe it's not sin, it's just something that the Lord's calling you out of. Lord's saying, hey, come. Come. Maybe you kept that thing or that person so close to your heart that even God takes a back seat. And when God says, come, you say, no, I got to stay here with them. Or I got to stay here with it. Because I know if I walk forward, I can't walk forward with it. Or I can't walk forward with them. God's still saying, come. Have you refused to step out and take a step closer to the Lord because other things have become more important to you? Whatever the reason is, God's saying, come. If you're lost, God's saying, come. Come, all that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But God constantly bids you come. No matter where you're at, God's bidding, come. My sole desire is that I keep my hand in the Lord's and I never stop coming. God's drawing a line. Don't wind up on the wrong side of that line. If everyone would bow their heads, close your eyes. And if it's you tonight that the Lord's dealing with, the Lord's drawing the line. And if you noticed, I stopped right over here. The line's been drawn, but it's not done because the Lord's came tonight saying, hey, there's still opportunity. Get on the right side. If it's you tonight, make your way to this altar. Don't wait. Don't tarry in your seat. The Lord says, come. God's drawing a line. God don't want you to be on the wrong side. I don't want you to be on the wrong side. Because on the other side of that line is judgment. He's saying, take your hand, put it in mine, and follow me to glory land. Don't let anything in this world have such an attachment on you that you're not willing to come when I say come. Be a pilgrim in this land. Oh God.
Broken, I wanna be holy, completely surrender to your will. It's not about me, it's all about you. Not about me, it's all about you. I can't keep wasting my time. I wanna be broken. I've been here before, I've surrendered before. With the way that I've become, can I start again? Oh, can I have a second chance? Lord, I need you like never before. I wanna be broken, I wanna be all about you. I can't keep wasting my time. I wanna be broken. He's not giving up on me. He's not finished with me. He has called me for a purpose that I must complete. Can't do this myself. I've got to give up myself. Holy and acceptable to you. I wanna be broken. I wanna be holy. Completely surrender to your. It's not about me, it's all about